Have you ever ignored the check engine light for a really long time?
Have you ever forgotten to change the clothes for your kids on a long car ride?
Have you ever sent your husband to the store and he panicked to come home with all the wrong stuff?
Someone ever given your twin boys one toy to share?
Have you and your husband ever assumed the other one paid that bill?
Well, we've had these things happen to us, and around here we call them PFDs, or
potential for disaster.
I'm Julie.
And I'm Heidi. And we are trying to avoid PFDs, but when we can't, we can at least laugh about them. Join us each week as we share our near misses,
total failures,
and good times.
Hi, Heidi.
Hey, Julie.
Episode 10.
Episode 10, double digits.
I'm serious now.
Yeah.
This is good.
This is good.
It's a different night for us, but that's okay. I was pretty wiped.
You were pretty wiped yesterday. Yeah, we can't do a show with you asleep. It doesn't really work.
I mean, you could.
It's the Heidi show. Yeah. Heidi.
Already? 10 episodes is all it took. She's taking over.
Anyway. I'm glad you feel better today. You had a long week.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I tried to get some sleep on Friday. And my body was telling me, not enough, sleep more. And of course, you know how the weekends are. You're busy and you get stuff to do with these 9 o'clock T-ball games and appointments and groceries. And I don't know, every other errand under the sun seems to happen on a Saturday. And the weather was actually nice.
Gorgeous this weekend.
Didn't feel like enjoying it on Saturday.
Yeah, you were wiped out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our T-ball games wiped me out because our fields... Yes. Your field is at least close to the parking lot. Our field, lately. You cannot even see our field from where you are. They are so far, which would be fine if I walked to the field and back to the car. But we get to the field and Max is like, I forgot my glove. I forgot my water. I forgot my... And I wind up making that trip like 3 or 4 times. I swear, I like walk a mile.
It's good exercise.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I wasn't going to go to the game because I thought I was going to sleep in, but I didn't, and I went. And I'm glad I did. It was a great game.
Yeah, we did.
We played actually like almost a doubleheader because kids were having a good time. We were like, whatever. But I actually ran around the middle school grounds. You might have saw me.
I saw you start. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in a lot of pain, but I was just going to go for it because I figured maybe I would help me fall asleep later in the evening, and it did. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, so and it gives you a little more energy during the day sometimes.
Yeah.
I was happy when I was exercising regularly, and I have fallen off the bandwagon in a big way, but I have a new program. It's called Couch to 5K. I'm going to modify it. I'm going to like make it from like
bed to 5K.
Yeah.
bed
to couch. I'm going to do stages, and it's like a 9-week program or something. And it starts like week one. I don't, you download music for it, and it's like a 5-minute warm up and then like 30 seconds of running and 90 seconds of walking. And it tells you when to switch. I think I'm going to do week one for at least a month.
That's good.
I'm thinking instead of like couch to 5K in 8 weeks, I'm thinking couch to 5K in a year.
That's okay. But it's good to have goals.
It's good
long
to have goals.
And short term.
And it seems like a good program. And when I say run, I mean like walk with a skip. Yeah.
Pick up the pace
slightly.
That's okay. Yeah. Heidi, we all have to start somewhere.
We have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to do something regularly because it's so
well,
hard.
You had your friends over recently and did a walk, didn't
we did
you?
A walk.
Did you ever get out of the house?
We did. After like an hour of talking and drinking iced coffee, we did go for a walk. And that was great. And if, you know, if you did that every day, it would be fine. But we don't get together every day. And the truth is, like, I like to walk, and walking is really good. And I think if you're already kind of where you want to be, walking is probably good for maintenance. I am not where I want to be. And I don't, while walking I think is probably not bad for me, I don't think it's going to help me get where I want to be. So
yeah,
I think I need to step it up. So I really like an elliptical.
Mm-hmm.
But I never make it to the gym. Mm-hmm. So that's not going to happen. We have an exercise bike. I hate that thing.
Me too.
I get bored like 3 minutes in. I'm like, this is it a half hour yet? I must have been on here for a half hour.
You know what we need to get you? Because I've been perusing those travel, the Sky Mall magazines.
Mm-hmm.
They have those goggles, glasses you can wear now, and you can see movies in them. So you can be on your bike
and watch.
Your eyeballs will be very entertained.
My bike is directly in front of a television.
Oh.
Yeah. I have okay. no excuse. I have music in that room. I have a television in that room.
Mm.
It's a cool room. Like, mm-hmm. there's an air conditioner. I mean, there's really no excuse. I just freaking hate that bike.
I'm not a stationary
They're boring
bike person.
And they hurt my bum.
Yeah.
Just, it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my only option is my walk and skip.
Yeah. And it's not like Sandy Girl can go far these days.
No, my poor old dog, man. Her back legs give out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could see it when she walks. Yeah. No, but I think it's a good plan. I think you got to do something. You know, it's funny because I put on a suit the other day for a meeting, and it's a suit that I bought in a slightly larger size because, yeah, I'm not where I want to be either. It was tight. And I only bought it like 3 weeks ago. And I was like, really? Really?
Ooh.
Like, really?
Maybe time a month. You were retaining water.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if that's the case. I just got... And it was tight in the boobage area. Mm. And I'm like, I don't remember them growing in the last 3 weeks. And I wasn't that time of the month. Maybe I am retaining water. I don't know. You made the comment the other day about, like, was it B12, B6?
B vitamins. I've been taking B vitamins, and I vitamin D because I had blood work done and I was very deficient in vitamin D. I definitely think it's helped a little with the energy level.
Yeah. Well, you know, to your point about feeling better. I mean, when I was running regularly before the acorn incident.
the attack acorn.
I was not tired like I am. And granted, I'm traveling a lot, so it definitely adds to it. And I definitely don't feel like I can get on top of a regular routine because, you know, you drive or you fly or whatever it is that I'm doing. I bring all my stuff with me and I get to do it maybe once out of the 2 or 3 days wherever I am. And it's definitely not an, I mean, something, and I'm proud of myself for that. But my body feels like dead weight every single time I get up and go. And I'm like, it's not getting easier because I can't seem to get a rhythm going.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, something needs to get. I need to quit my job so I can focus on running. Well, you know, it's funny, too, is like I was thinking about this week in particular about how many miles I logged. And I wish they were running miles because they're not.
Yeah, travel.
Travel miles. I made a notation. Ready? Uh-huh. 600 miles in the car this week.
Ooh.
That's over 9 hours. And then I flew, and that was 400 miles back and, well, total, round trip, all in one day. And I'm like, okay, so over 1,000 miles in 1 week in 5 different states. I covered a lot of ground, technically.
Yeah.
I'm just like, no wonder I was so tired this weekend.
Yeah.
And I couldn't recover.
No. And mentally, too, it's exhausting to just prepare for travel, and then be away. And when you're away, you're thinking of work, and you're thinking of home. And when you're home, you're thinking of preparing to leave to go to work. Like, it's mentally, it's just exhausting, I'm sure.
Well, I'm definitely... burning the candle at both ends. I just put my computer away before you showed up because I had some work to do. I did my to-do list for the week, which I usually do for work. And I was like, oh, you know, like 3 things popped up that I was like, I was supposed to send that out. I was supposed to email that. I was supposed to follow up on that. So I did all those things. And then I get caught up in something else. And then lo and behold, it's 45 minutes later. And I think the kids went to bed. I don't know because I was sucked in the email vortex. So it got a little out of hand, but that's what I feel like I'm doing is like, you know, spinning the wheel like the hamster. But I did have a little fun this week with meeting Dorothy Hamill.
Dorothy Hamill.
And I wish I would have taken a picture with her, but I think she was probably at a point where like enough.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she gets it all the time. Because
I know, but she's Dorothy Hamill. And like for some reason, for girls of our age.
Yeah.
Dorothy Hamill, like she was a Barbie doll.
Yes. I was a huge fan. So of course... You know, everybody is like, oh, Dorothy, I had your haircut. Uh-huh. And I'm sure she's heard that her entire life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I say that too, but I also acknowledge the fact that, you know, we're at a black tie event raising funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And she's the MC and she's talking about her own experience with depression. And I think I've heard her story before because she was talking about how back in 76 when she won the Olympics and all that stuff, like she'd be on all these interviews and she was depressed, even though she was supposed to be on top of the world, you know, with all her gold medals and stuff.
Right.
And so that's what she was talking about, whatever, that night. So I leaned into her and I said, you know, so yeah, I had the haircut. I loved it. You know, idol of mine. But more importantly, I said, I really applaud you for coming, being here at this type of event and, you know, sharing your story with all these people. It's really what it's about. And I'm really glad you have the courage to speak. And she's like, yes, me too. Then she's like introducing me to her husband. And I'm like, who? Who's that?
He does not have a haircut named after him.
No. And I it was weird. But yeah, she's a sweetheart. She was a doll up there. It was really, really, she did a nice job, but she looks great. I have to say, I don't even know how old she is.
I don't know.
I didn't Google it.
How old was she when she won all those gold medals? She was young. She was like 15, 16.
I don't know if she was that young.
Cause gymnasts used to be older. I think it's just recently that the girls are like,
oh, 51. Oh, that was in 2007.
So she's 54.
Yeah. And she had breast cancer, too. I didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, me neither.
She's not really much in the public anymore, no. I don't think.
I don't know how they got her.
I saw her at the Olympics. You know, that's the only time I see her now, when they pan to her in the audience.
Yeah.
At the Olympics every 4 years. So not too up on her.
No. No. I always used to think, who's the other commentator for the Olympics? Scott Hamill.
Uh-huh.
I always think they were related. They're not.
You know, I never put it together before. They have the same last name. Are they related?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a different spelling. I have to look it up.
Oh.
Hamill.
How did I never connected those dots before. Funny.
Yeah, I. Different spelling, apparently.
Okay.
Things you learn.
Mystery solved.
I love the internet. You know, it was funny when we were at Bumping Company, is that what it's called?
Yes, this great nursery, plant nursery that we found locally. I like that couple is just, it's just this great,
adorable,
neat, older couple that retired and decided to open a nursery out of their backyard. And they're awesome.
And the stuff, the whole setup, the way you were explaining to me with the copper wire and the heating and the cooling, and fascinating stuff.
It's really, it's so neat. And I love buying from them because they really know their stuff. Like, these are all plants that whatever doesn't sell, they plant. So they eat all of these vegetables. They cut all of these flowers. They they are part of them. So when you say, you know, I really like a sweet pepper, they're like, oh, this one's the sweetest of the bunch. You know, like they know what you're talking about. And it's good.
I was fascinated with her stories about like, oh, I went on the internet. Like, oh, that's great.
I know. I friended him on, he's on Facebook.
Is he?
I friended him. Yeah.
That is really funny.
Yeah. I've decided they're going to love me. I've decided.
You will be their child.
Yes. I've decided that they are going to like take me under their wing and teach me to garden, and I'm going to have them over for dinner.
That's always a good ploy.
Whole fantasy relationship between me and them. I'm not sure that they want it, but.
No, but you just brought them a couple new customers. So
I bring everyone there because it's a neat. Is it not so cool?
The beehive thing was cool.
Yes,
I didn't realize how many they have.
Well, he makes them. He's the inventor of that style of beehive, which I've seen online that, you know, people who are into bees, these are like, you know, this incredibly innovative new beehive style as opposed to those like boxes, because I guess this mimics an actual beehive.
Right.
And the way that the bees move inside this thing is different. Yeah.
And if you're wondering what we're talking about, if you go to pfdpodcast.com and
you can see pictures.
Yeah.
Of
Heidi posted pictures of it about two or three posts ago. So definitely look it up.
It was pretty cool. My Mother's Day post.
Yes.
Which is when we first went there for Mother's Day, because I get my veggies for my vegetable garden every year is my Mother's Day gift.
I'm excited. I the brands of tomatoes she picked out or told me about today that would be good for containers. I'm curious to see how they'll turn out.
Yeah,
because I never heard of them, but I don't care.
They have an amazing amount of variety.
Yeah.
Lots of different stuff.
Yeah. I put some pictures up today of my stuff, but it was just, actually, it's grown a little bit, but I really want my own.
Yeah. You'll get there.
Yeah. But I like it. It's what I can handle, so it works for me. I have to tell the kids to water it while I'm away, because Keith won't.
I'll remind them at the bus stop.
Yeah. Yeah. But the minute he'll walk in the door, it's like a memory zap.
I have that same thing with getting coffee for Norman.
Mm.
We were outside of every time this happens. And the other day, before we went up to the hippie museum,
mm-hmm.
we parked outside of Dunkin' Donuts. He gave me his order. I went in to order two things, the iced coffee and his coffee. Came out with just the iced coffee. I cannot order my husband coffee. I have a mental block.
This happens a lot?
Every time.
Wow.
I know. It's pretty bad.
I don't know what to say. You would think you would learn.
I know. I don't. I just can't. I can't do it.
Well, speaking of coffee, I have to make one comment. I feel like I'm going to talk about Starbucks at every podcast, but I have to make one point of concern I have for the people who travel in Reagan Washington Airport.
Yeah.
So I got off the plane, and it was early in the morning. I mean, I'd gotten up at 5:30 in the morning. And I didn't. Actually, I had a little bit of coffee. I turned on the brewer, but whatever. But so I get to the airport and thinking, okay, I'm gonna get some coffee when I land. Perfect. Then I'll take a cab to my final location. No, I couldn't find the coffee. There was a sign for a Starbucks, and it said briefly where it was, but didn't give you any sense of arrows or distance. Just like assuming you would know where it was next to, where it was saying it was next to. Didn't like it. Ended up walking the entire way down this hall full of all these other great stores and all this other stuff.
And
clothes
no
that I don't want to buy. Shoes that I don't need. Whatever. Traveling gear I don't need. But all I wanted was coffee. I would have been happy with any coffee at that point. No. And so then we asked someone. We're like, there was a sign that said it was Starbucks. And they were like, oh, yeah, it's up the stairs, around the corner, down the hall. Took forever. I was sweating. By the time I got to the Starbucks, I ordered a nice coffee. Oh,
so couch to Starbucks could be your running plan.
Oh, my goodness. It was like, I was really disappointed. So note to the folks in Reagan National Airport, move your Starbucks downstairs and put better signage for people like me who have a problem.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Coffee rant. We always get a coffee rant in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I drank a lot of coffee this morning.
I think I should probably start counting how many cups a week I drink, but that would be sad and pathetic. But you had a nice relaxing week, right?
I did. Norman was...
I'm assuming.
We did have a nice week. Norman was off from work.
Mm.
So it was actually, we had a really nice week up until today. He's kind of a grumpy Gus because I think he just has that... You know, when you have a week off of work and you have to go back. Yeah. So he's all melancholy and blue.
Yeah.
But,
and I'm sure he has to get up early.
Yeah. Oh, he's out the door by 6:30. Yeah. But, we had a really nice week. We did Friday we let the kids play hooky.
That place so cool. Have you gone there before?
No, we haven't gone to that museum before.
Cool. It looked really cool. Tell them about it.
Yeah. We went up to, it's called Bethel Woods Museum, but it's all dedicated to Woodstock, the music festival.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been calling it the Hippie Museum.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Woodstock?
It's all about sex and drugs and rock and roll. You know, quality family time.
Yep. How else are they going to learn?
It was so good. So it was actually a really good museum, like really neat stuff inside, a great movie about all the bands that played and a lot of footage from the actual concert, stuff mm-hmm. I had never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun. And this brings me to my teen advice for this week. My teen advice for this week is do not encourage your teen. Expose your teen. Because mm-hmm. Jack's been playing the guitar for about 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really into it. He does love it. But, like, you know, I encourage him. I'm like, Jack, it's so great. What can you play? La, 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 la.
Right.
And he rolls his eyes.
Right.
And he's like, shut up. And of course, it makes it that much less cool that his mom thinks it's cool. That's not a...
Yeah.
But we exposed him to this hippie museum all about all these great bands in Woodstock and all these cool guys mm-hmm. who played the guitar. He has been practicing his guitar like 4 hours a day since we went to this museum.
Really?
Because he's all inspired yeah. and encouraged. And I was like, that's the trick. Don't encourage your kids because mm-hmm. you are not cool. So right. don't just expose them to things. If they're into it, mm-hmm. expose them to it. And they like the encouragement and what they get from seeing people that they perceive to be cool doing what it is they want to do is worth so much more than anything you could say. So right. that's my teen advice for the week. Don't encourage, just expose.
Right. So does that mean when he was exposed to all the footage about Woodstock?
Yeah.
He got other things out of that exposure?
Sure. I am positive.
He's like sex, like, drugs, and rock and roll. I got yeah. it now, Mom.
Listen.
It's okay. It's all right.
I would have done the same thing. I got to work with what I got.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think it also happens even earlier, too. But mm-hmm. it's great advice for teens. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, yeah. you know, I think if people, yeah, you don't push and you don't, you know, it's a genuine interest already of his. But it, yeah, you expose him to things where it's, yeah, I could see that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, it has such a bigger effect on them coming from someone else or mm-hmm. some other avenue
mm-hmm.
than Norman and I being mm-hmm. like, it's really cool to play the guitar.
Yeah.
Because then it's really not cool to play right. the guitar.
Right. It's funny, too, because my kids, I don't know if they're talking about it in school, but they were talking about what they wanted to be when they grow up.
Uh-huh.
So cute. So I think it was... couple things have come up, and like we went to like a school evening where they showed us all their stuff in the classroom, yes, which
yeah.
was really
the
cute.
The open house, yeah.
Yeah, and they had a little thing about an autobiography or whatever, and I think one of the pages was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And both of them wanted to be soldiers, which mortifies me. But hey, only in the sense that I know how hard it is for, you know, my brother was in the military, my brother-in-law was in the military, and it's a very hard thing to do, and I applaud anyone who does decide to go that route and yeah, see it all the way through. But
absolutely. I think it's hard for any mother. Yeah. I mean, I think any mother's going to know exactly what you mean by that,
yeah.
because while it's
yeah.
clearly, you know, a noble thing to do, oh, you know, you don't even want them to cross a busy street, yeah. like much less.
Exactly. I get nervous when they're playing t-ball and it's right. not that contact sport. But I know where they're getting it from because, you know, my husband's really into Halo. And they see a lot of images from that, which, you know, at first I was just to be kind of like annoyed with him that he would like leave this stuff on. But I'm like, it's everywhere. It's downstairs. He's got giant posters, really cool artwork. So I'm not going to say no to it. It's part right. of what my husband's into, whatever, as long as it's appropriate. But of course he shows them videos, not of like the killing. And it's not really that violent. It's just, you know... It's more mature themes and not nothing sexual. It's just some concepts that are hard to explain to a kid about war and what they're fighting. Granted, we all always couch it in a fantasy type thing,
right.
but I think that's where they're getting the whole soldier thing, you know?
Okay, yeah.
So I'm like, all right, whatever. And this is like, if you ever, anyone knows anything about Halo, it's very like futuristic soldiers. I mean, these guys wear these amazing suits. So even I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool, you know?
Right.
But it does have a story behind it and it is interesting, but yeah, I'm like, okay, they're young, so let's not go crazy. So we end up having discussions around what you want to be when you grow up, and they're like, soldier, soldier, soldier. It's really cool because it's whatever. And then I explain to them, like, listen, there's a whole other side to being the cool soldier. And we talk a little bit about war and stuff, and they've seen images on TV. And they were like, the minute I started talking about, well, like, we won't see you that often. You'll be away from home a lot. Like, maybe once or twice a year you'll come home. Because right. especially if there's a war going on, and they looked at me like, oh, well, yeah, let's not be soldiers, Ryan. You know, they're like, yeah, let's not, no, you know. And I was like, okay, whatever. Again, you have plenty of time to decide in your life. I wasn't really trying to deter them, but I, of course, want to give them all the facts. And it's so cute. I was like, we could be soldiers for Halloween, guys. And they're like, cool. So then their backup plan was Alex wants to be a paleontologist. Because he wants to continue researching dinosaurs.
Nice.
And then Ryan wants to be This is great. He kept saying, I want to be a vet. And then he describes what a vet does, which basically was a pet owner store, a store owner for a pet shop.
Okay.
And I'm like, Ryan, that's not a vet. That's a, you know, pet store owner. He's like, oh, all right. Well, then I want to be that. And I said, well, you could be the vet and go and be like, take care of the animals. And then you can, you know, either sell them or and have a pet shop and whatever. He goes, no, I want to give all my animals away for free.
Not a like, businessman.
Yeah. And then I was like, you're not going to be a pet store owner then. You're going to be the free pet store owner. Yeah. So we were, so then he was like kept revising his plan. Like, oh, okay, okay. And then he was like, but I also want to like play with lizards and I want to teach people about, and I said, then you need to be a zoologist. So we've got a lot of careers going in the animal
Animals, yeah.
But I was like, dude, you could do all of it. You could be a pet owner and be the most knowledgeable pet owner, pet store owner ever.
Max also has a pet theme. Guess what Max wants to be?
A kitty doctor.
Just a kitty cat. So in the first grade, we go in.
Is there a job?
Yeah. At the open house
school. Wait, wait. He's going to be the guy who goes to the parties and dressed up as a cat, like Garfield.
Right, like a stripper dancer, like a Chippendales kitty
cat. I wasn't going there. I was trying to keep it kid friendly.
No, because when you ask him what he wants to be, that's pretty. He's like, I want to dress up with like a kitty cat and like dance around.
I want to wear the mask. Yeah. I want to masquerade in it.
Yeah. I'm so ready for this kitty cat thing to end.
Never
gonna
end.
Yeah. So my son Max, he loves kitty cats, but not really real cats.
No.
Because, like, I have a cat. Julie has two cats. He shows no particular interest in these animals, the real animals. I mean, he's, you know, it's a cat. He likes it. He'll pet. But it's not like he's really into it. But he's always in kitty cat mode. And
always.
People call him Meow Meow or Kitty Cat. And when we go to, like, meow, meow. Open house, kids from other grades, older kids see him and they're like, meow, meow. It's everywhere. And this started, it started in preschool and he had the whole class playing kitty cats.
Right.
And when they're three.
It's cute.
Four. Cute.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went to kindergarten and I kind of thought, okay, he's now not with any of the kids from preschool. So this will end, right? This will
die.
He's
a trendsetter.
So I go to the first meeting with the kindergarten teacher and she's all like, yeah, my whole class is meowing at me. I'm calling your son Meow Meow. What is this? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, let's hope it passes. So we go to open house and every kid's biography story is like, what do you love? Kitty cats. What do you want to be when you grow up? Cats. What's your favorite thing? Cat food. What, like...
Oh,
and the teacher was like, I don't really know what's happening here.
I seem to have lost control.
Cats, every kid in this story that they were supposed to do talked about kitty cats. All of them. My son is like a kitty cat plague.
There's got to be some money in that. Somewhere.
I don't know what to do. I'm like... And Norman and I talked about it because at this point, like, we're sick of the kitty. I don't want to hear kitty cat. I want to get rid of our cat. That's how sick of kitty cat I am because it's no longer. I'm like, you can't stick with something this long. This is no longer a phase. I'm like, what is this?
But he's going to be like those, like, football players that have those fancy names because they're light on their feet. So he's going to be meow meows on the field.
Meow meow.
He's a little aggressive, but cute and cuddly. It describes him to a T, Heidi.
It does.
It's never going to leave him.
It's never going to leave him. And I was like, Norman, should we just say, like, all right, no more kitty cat. That's it. No, don't. No. And Norman was like, yeah, that's going to work. Like,
well,
you can't do that.
No. Because everyone around him is going to still perpetuate it.
Totally.
Like, he's got to turn around one day and just be like, no, I'm no longer meow meow or I'm not playing kitty.
I'm waiting, man.
Because
waiting.
My kids now love it. Because and scream out, meow, meow.
Everywhere we go. Like, I go to the mall and I hear coming down the, you know, from far away, meow, meow. Like, everyone recognizes him as meow, meow. I'm just going to roll with it. I'm just going to get him like...
I think you have no choice. You know what? Maybe this is something you over-encourage.
And then he won't think it's cool.
Yeah. Maybe you just get him. Remember, because I got him the like little cat outfits. Yes. Just get like one every month and get like tons of t-shirts with cats all over it. And be right. Like, I thought you liked that.
Yeah. Lots of cats. Just like over encourage it.
Yeah.
That'll backfire on me. He won't wear anything unless it has a cat on it.
But if they're pink shirts.
Yeah. No, he would probably wouldn't want to do.
Right. But it'd be like, everything else is dirty, bud. So.
Be cruel now. Yeah. Now we're talking about ways to traumatize them. Yeah. Oh, but well, I'm ready. I'm ready for the kitty cat to.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Go to the pound.
My kids do a lot of weird things, but that no, yeah. Nothing like that has really stuck.
You know what else that kid does?
Okay. What else, Heidi?
All right. So, listeners, moms, Julie, if anyone knows how this behavior really has to go, it's disgusting. He chews on his shirts. If yeah. he's wearing a long sleeve shirt, he chews on the sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a short sleeve shirt, he just picks up like the neck collar. Part and chews on it. And all of his shirts, when I go to wash them, they're all like hard and crunchy and smelly and gross. Why?
So what? Have you, is it all the time?
It's all the time. I mean, I think it's all the time.
Because when he's here, I don't see him do it.
But you have seen him do it, right?
Yes. Well, because Ryan does it.
Okay.
Ryan's probably done it for a while now. And Alex used to do it, but Ryan will also chew on blankets.
Right.
And it usually has to do with, like, he definitely has some sort of oral fixation thing going, but he'll do it when he's sitting in front of the TV. Uh-huh. He'll start chewing. But it goes in waves. There's been, like, several weeks where there's nothing. And then it comes back. And I think sometimes, I think it's related also to anxiety a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a comfort thing. And I think that it comes out when maybe he's having difficulty. But you would never, right off the bat, put two and two together. I've always had to go back and think about it really hard. I'm like, when did we see this behavior? Because it doesn't always match up. It's not like 3 days in a row he did it. It's like one day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. And then like 2 days later, it starts up again. And then it's like gone and it comes back up again. And I have to look at the whole entire like 2 or 3 week time period and be like, is there a trigger? It's complicated to explain, but I feel like our psychologist sort of explained it because I asked him about it too. I was like, he does this a lot. and you know, he was like, it could be a couple different things. Some of it could just be just straightforward oral fixation. They need something in their mouth. It's sort of something that will pass eventually. Could be anxiety related, could be whatever, just another way to cope or just deal with something. You know, it could just be so it, clearly for Ryan anyway, it's unconscious to some extent. He's uh-huh. not purposely putting it in
no,
his mouth.
No, Max doesn't know he does it because yeah. when he's doing it and I say, Max, don't do that, I can tell he doesn't realize he'd been right. doing it until yeah. I say that.
Yeah, but I definitely think there's some association he gets from it, like, and I don't know if it always started out that way,
mm-hmm.
but we can't figure out if it's me not being around, if there's something else bothering him that he's not talking about, or just, again, it's some comfort he doesn't feel like he's getting, but he doesn't walk, I mean, you know, sometimes he'll be outside and he'll do it, but it goes in waves, like, again, I can't pinpoint one thing.
Yeah, Max doesn't really go in waves. It's pretty
consistent.
It's pretty consistent. And you know what? I'll have to start noticing when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it, you know, what's going on that it's.
Yeah, happening? I'd be curious if other people out there, you know, go to our website, leave a comment or email us or send us a voice note or whatever. What do you want to do? Or Facebook us
yeah,
about
it. Yeah, if anyone's
it.
Had this and has any
insight.
Yeah. And possible solutions other than I'm going to put him in like low cut tube tops. I'm like with really tight tank tops. Like,
yeah.
what can I put him in that he cannot chew?
Does he do it during school hours?
I think so because yes, definitely because okay. he's gotten off the bus with it. Not every day, but every once in a while.
Yeah. I would definitely pay attention to see if there is a pattern you can detect.
I'm going to have to try to do that.
It's hard because, like I said, Ryan is all over the road. But I definitely, again, sometimes the uptick of it has to do with just lots of stuff going on.
Right.
And I think it's a comfort for him in some way. But, yeah, I have no way to stop him except to just – I don't even say anything to him anymore. I just pull the blanket out of his mouth or the cuff of his thing
right.
and or roll up his sleeves or make him change his shirt. And I just don't talk about it.
I give Max gum.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then
it works.
There you go.
Then there's something else in his mouth because it's just so, just especially if we're like going out for the day. You know, like when we were going to this museum, like I really don't want to walk around with the kid with the big wet spot in the front of his shirt that's all smelly and disgusting. Like,
because you don't have a baby anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Gum. Give him gum and that works. So it must be an oral fixation thing. But if he has gum in his mouth, then he doesn't want to put his shirt in his, you know, like
mouth is doing something.
Yeah.
Could be just nervous energy. Could be, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just the need to move. Something,
maybe,
chew, but, something.
So gross.
Whatever you're getting that feeling. Well, yeah, who knows? I hate it too. You know what it is too sometimes with the blanket thing when he does that? You know, we leave random throw blankets around the couch, and sometimes I'll pick one up and I'll be like the sweat spot, and I'd be like,
ew.
My first thought is somebody peed.
Right.
And then I look around, I'm thinking, all right, no, it's not. I don't want to smell it. I make Keith smell it. And then I'm like, it's a small patch. I'm like, all right, it can't be the cat unless they have incontinence. Could it be me? No, okay, was it me? And then then I'm like, oh, it's probably Ryan chewing.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it usually is.
Usually was. Speaking of weird tics, it reminds me of a show. There are actually some shows out that I'm loving.
Mm-hmm.
They are, have you watched them? The Middle and Modern Family and Parenthood.
But so no, heard of all of them, wanted to watch all of them, but I'm so behind on my DVR stuff.
Yeah.
I barely get to watch the stuff I do like.
Will love these shows. The Middle is hysterical. The way that they portray parenting and like the whole, it's just, it's so dead on for like what actually really goes on. I love that show, The Middle. And then Modern Family, hysterical. Mm-hmm. And then Parenthood. Mm-hmm. Which the show itself, I don't know if I really would watch it so much, except that Jack really likes to watch it.
Mm.
And so I've started watching it with Jack. And what's happened is the show deals with like a lot of issues like teen sex and drugs and parents getting divorced and kids with problems. Like it just deals with a wide variety of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find that anything that Jack either has questions about or was wanting to bring up in some way is like an avenue for him to talk about or for me to initiate a conversation.
Do you mean 90210 doesn't do that for him?
I don't,
because it helped me out quite a bit.
Well, maybe I should have him watch that.
Brenda and Dylan were great back then. Yeah,
good show.
Yeah.
But anyway, so good. I'm kind of enjoying. That's a surprise one.
Yeah.
But The Middle and Modern Family.
I've heard both of them.
They are so good. I'm like, oh, good shows are back. Because we've been lacking for a while.
I agree. I agree with that assessment in general of good shows coming back. Because I feel like, Tuesday nights, my cousin who lives in Virginia, she writes on her Facebook about how she gets annoyed with like, because everything's on Tuesday night lately.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, between, you know, if you still watch American Idol and, you know, Glee and all this other stuff, and stuff runs into each other and you can't DVR too many shows in one night, you know. So I feel for her because there's a couple of good shows like Glee.
Glee is good, too.
I read I watch, you know, The Vampire Diaries. It's purely just to get my vampire fix.
You mean all the posters of Edward don't do that for you? Hi, Edward.
There is no posters of Edward, Heidi. Although I did change my screen desktop. Anyway, more. I don't have enough time to watch enough shows. I read a lot lately.
Yeah.
Which you said you had a new book, and I'm going to tell you about mine real quick. It's I've been looking. So I always look for the next vampire book that I want to read because I still like the genre quite a bit, and I'm halfway through Dracula again, which I still love. I think it's one of the greatest books. But I need to be in the right frame of mind for that. But So, being a big Twilight fan fiction fan of Twilight, there was a website I go to that recommends all this stuff. And one of them was a new vampire series of books. And I was like, oh, it's not just one book. It's like 10.
Ooh,
I'm like, love it. So I downloaded the first one. It's kind of weird and a little different than I'm used to or wanting to read, but the reviews on it, and I trust these people, even though I don't know them, But I trust their review, and they basically were like, you know, yes, it's a little hard in the beginning, but like once you get past a certain point, like a lot of books, you know, you're going to get so stuck on them. So I'm reading it, and I actually do like it. It's a different kind of world of vampires than everybody always has a different take, which I like.
Right.
Makes it kind of interesting. But they're like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's I'm just excited that there's more than one book. Because that's the thing that always bothers me.
It's like your whole summer reading. Like, yes. 10 books could get you through the whole summer.
I'm very excited. Yeah. So I'm digging in. It's called... I don't want to say it.
Oh, it's going to be good. I'm going to be able to make fun of you. I can't wait.
I can't. I'm not going to reveal it. It's a new series. I'm just going
to
leave
you
it at that.
You have to plug it. Our listeners, we may have vampire lover listeners.
Okay. Yeah, we do actually have some vampire lover out there. Angela, I'm thinking of you, who recently bought tickets to Eclipse, and I have not yet. Huh. It's coming out in June. So she Facebooked that she bought tickets like way in advance. It's not coming out until the end of June.
Oh, that's a fan.
Yeah. So she's in it. She's in it. So it's called, Angela, this is for you, Dark Lover.
Sounds worse than it is.
But it's not one of those smut books.
Sure.
It's
your
not.
Dark Lover.
It's by J.R. Ward. I like it.
That's awesome.
It's the Black Dagger Brotherhood. Whatever that means. I don't know. All right. You know what? Looking at the book cover, yeah, it totally looks like smut. But it's actually an interesting story.
Yeah, I'm sure you're reading it for the story. Norman reads those magazines for the stories, too.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. You know, it's the last time I make a book recommendation. All right. I'm reading a lot of things. It's just one of the many.
I've been getting my read on, too. Yeah. I'm kind of trying this year to really, because I love to read. I love books. But I find I just don't have time to sit and read when I do fall asleep. So I've been doing a lot of books on my podcast.
Oh.
Books, yeah, like I go to the library and get the CD and then put the CD on my podcast, on my iPod.
Tell me what's on the podcast, because you have a lot here. You recently read these on the library thing?
Uh-huh. Well, so here's how you do it, because if they're on my iPod, I can listen to a book while I'm doing everything else. And the one I just finished, Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, they look really cool. I like the title.
Yeah. Great title. It's by Chuck Klosterman.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a good book. And it's not a...
Wait, no. I like the one before that. Born Round.
The
Secret History of a Full-Time Eater.
That was a really good one, too. That was good. Yeah, I've been reading a lot of good books. Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs is definitely one of my new favorites. And it's not really fiction. It's not a novel like story.
Mm-hmm.
It's his take on certain things, like Saved by the Bell. He does a whole chapter on like Saved by the Bell and why he thinks that people of our generation liked it and what it means. And like,
that's great.
It's so great. He does another chapter about The Sims, you know, the game, The Sims.
Yeah.
That chapter is hysterical. It is the funniest. I was laughing out loud. Really good book. I think anyone born in like the late 60s, early 70s.
Right.
Really can relate to this book.
Cool.
Yeah.
So tell me how the library thing works. I think you explained it once before, but you download from this or?
Yeah. Well, our library, I listen to books a lot of different ways, but our library has a digital download center. So you go on and they have books that you can borrow, but you borrow them by downloading them onto your iPod and they stay on your iPod for like 21 days.
Mm.
And then it just magically disappears.
You told me about this, and I looked it up, and I stopped.
It's so good. So I'm really loving that. And then they also have these things at our library, and maybe at libraries all over the country, called Playaways. And it's like a little device. It's like the size of a credit card. It's not big. And it has a book on it, and you just plug in your headphones and press play. And that's it. It's really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah, that's how I listen to the Sex, Drugs, and Cocoa Puffs one.
Very cool.
But yeah, I really like it.
I have to do that because I need to listen to stuff. Oh, there it is. I need to listen to stuff while I'm driving.
Yeah.
6 hours in the car.
Yeah, this would be perfect. And our library has a big selection of those. And they're just so easy.
I've been listening to This American Life.
Oh, I love This American Life.
Yeah.
So good.
So good.
So good.
I miss it because you turned me on to it a while ago and I was listening to it for a while and then I stopped. And now that I've been driving a lot, it's coming handy.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. I like it.
Did you listen to the one recently about babysitters?
Yeah.
I loved that one. I was just
going to talk about that. And then I'm like, oh, there was a couple episodes ago. I don't know. People, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. I just listened to that one the other day. I loved the people who made up the family.
What was that about?
That was such a great story. It was really cool.
I'm just amazed at how he finds these things.
Yeah.
These stories. They're
Yeah, each episode of This American Life is like a work of art. They have this amazing arc in their stories that just
comes all back and ties together nicely, and it's amazing.
So good. My favorite one ever. I'll have to find it for you. It's a story about this woman who worked in the baby doll department of FAO Schwartz and how they like had to treat these babies like real babies. And the sample baby that they had to work with was like this really ugly baby that no one wanted to buy, which is why it became the sample. So they all, like all the people that worked there really hated the baby. So like...
Great.
Yeah. So they would be showing it to like a girl, but like behind the counter, they'd be like slamming its foot in a door and like, and all the other like, you know, people who worked there would be hysterical and they'd all try to do awful things to this baby without anyone. It was just the funniest. That is my favorite one ever.
That's good.
Yeah. So good.
Well, and I love the narration with it. It's just so... a soothing quality that hooks you in.
Yeah.
And it's, and the music, and then.
I know. Love it. And I love Ira Glass.
Yeah. It's just storytelling.
Love him. They do it live sometimes, you know, like he does readings and I really want to go see him live do something. We should.
I would.
Next time he comes around, we should totally
dig that.
Yeah.
Well, it reminds me of one day Keith dropped me off. I think it was like last week in the office. And, I don't know why I didn't have my car, but whatever. He had to come and drop something off because I left my iPhone at home. So I said, you have to bring it here. I need my iPhone. Can't do my work without my iPhone, even though I have no email on my iPhone for work. But anyway, irrelevant. So he came by and it happened to be lunchtime. And I said, hey, let's go grab something to eat. And there really isn't much by my office. So we went to McDonald's. We got the healthiest thing there, but. We sat down and we were actually, you know, we're eating, chatting, whatever. And all of a sudden, like, we're near a high school where my office is. We had tons of high school kids come in for lunchtime, whatever, seniors. And there's just one kid comes in with a baby holder, a seat holder, with a baby doll in it. And so it must be one of those classes where they're teaching you about how to be responsible adults. And if you have a child, a baby, whatever.
Right.
And he looked... so miserable. And he's with his friends, and his friends are like poofing around, and he's just standing next to the baby carriage thing, and you know, it's on the floor or whatever, not even properly down, like the handle's not down. I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna say anything. But I'm like, I'm waiting for this baby to cry because he hasn't paid any attention to it. And it doesn't cry while we were there, but I couldn't stop looking at him, and I was just like, here's this kid who's like, couldn't be bothered. Probably hates this assignment. Who knows where? I don't know if the other guy that was with them was a parent as well, or it's a girl. I have no idea. Hysterical. And Keith and I were just like, we were so ragging on this kid to ourselves, you know, just like, oh, we never had to do that. Thank God, you know, like, it just must
I didn't know
be
they
mortifying.
Still did that.
Could just be in the hood where I was, but no, kidding. I didn't either. Actually, I mean, I saw it on 90210 once. But I never seen it really, you know, play out in front of my eyes. But it was funny. Can you imagine?
Guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he just totally looked like, no way. Never
Well, that's a good lesson then. Because,
But I think he was sort of trying to look aloof and indifferent. Like, I know I have a baby there. I'm not. And he didn't order lunch. He didn't bother feeding the child. his friend's age. So I was like, why are you here?
The plastic baby doll.
Yeah. It was classic.
Oh, good buddy. Poor kid.
So, you know, I don't know if you noticed on Ryan, he has a black eye.
I didn't notice.
No, I don't beat my children, but
shows you how much attention I pay. Did he have it yesterday?
No.
Oh, okay. Then no. I feel better because I didn't see him today.
Yeah. Oh, no, you didn't. Oh. Well, I saw all of your family.
I know. I cleaned out my car. My whole family disappeared over here, and mm-hmm. I cleaned out my car.
It's totally fine. We had a lot of neighborhood people here this weekend and today. But, him and Ryan and Alex were wrestling, one of their favorite pastimes, which they wrote in that book about themselves. What do you like to do? Wrestle with my brother. Nice. So they were wrestling, and Ryan got hit on the eye, on the bone, on his lower right eye, and by Alex's head, and immediately a bump. So we iced it, whatever, for a while, but then he went to bed, woke up, and we knew. I said to him, like, it's going to be a black eye, because he just hit it in that spot on the bone. It's going to travel up, and sure enough, woke up, and it didn't go all the way around, but it kind of traveled up to the inner eye socket, all bruised, and he was like, wow, you know, like
fascinating.
They wanted me to take pictures of it so they could see it. He wanted to be in front of the mirror. Alex was like, cool, let me poke it, you know, and Ryan's like, it hurts. And then Ryan, all day long, all I heard was, mommy, Ryan said it hurts when he smiles. And I'm like, so then don't, you know, and just like all day. And then of course Alex has to come up with something, you know, right? Something's wrong with me, mommy.
Oh, absolutely, like, right,
nothing's wrong with you, you're fine. No. But of course, at the end of the day, he's taking a shower, Alex, and he's got the farmer's tan.
Yeah.
Back of the neck, sunburnt. Now, my children don't have my skin coloring. They're lighter. I'm a little darker. And I feel bad for them all the time because they go out there and we have to lather them up.
Yeah, they get burnt.
Yeah. So he had a nice burn patch on the back of his neck. So, of course, take pictures so I can see.
Right.
And it was like, that's all he wanted me to do. So between the two of them, the black eye and the sunburn, they were like, ooh, you know.
My ailment.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm surprised that Ryan got the black eye, though, because
I know.
Typically it's Alex who gets the injury.
Yeah, it's a big injury. And I keep a list of Ryan's injuries. And this is the biggest one he's had in a really long time.
Mm.
It's fairly significant.
You keep a list of their injuries?
So I don't know how it started, but Ryan and I, it's just Ryan. Alex wants one, but I won't bring it up. I'm like, he'll have to remember. He'll forget. But no, Ryan and I just, it was just something that, like, we kind of just started because he wanted to show me all his injuries. And I was, I don't know if it's like a bonding thing we do. It's just sort of, I take notes. I write very specific details, like, you know, the date. And then he says to me, okay, Mama, I have a scratch on my left knee. Mm-hmm. I have scratch on my right arm, you know, or mommy, I have a cut or a mosquito bite.
Gotcha.
So yeah, we
that is pretty funny.
It's pretty good. Maybe I could put it on the website if people are interested in seeing what his month of April looked like. It's random. I don't know how it started. We don't stop. We're always telling each other, like with the black guy, he's like, mommy, we got to put that on the list. I'm like, yep, I'm on it. It's cute.
That is cute. That's actually really cute.
Yeah. And he's always, it's even the smallest thing.
Right. Got to go on the list.
Smallest thing has to go on the list. I'm like, okay. Well, there's a few we missed, but for the most part, it's pretty regular. It's great.
I love it. Oh, that's funny. I'm trying to, I was talking to another mom in the neighborhood.
Oh, about?
We want to implement, we have a lot of kids in our neighborhood, right?
A lot of boys.
There's like 10 of them when they all play together. But mm-hmm. they fall into two categories. They're like the kindergarten first graders.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the older boys, like the third and fourth graders.
Yep.
And we're finding that when they're engaged in an activity, like this winter when they were all building forts, mm-hmm. or like if Norman and Keith are in the field and they all wind up playing baseball. That's great. And if it's a small group, if it's like Max and Alex and Ryan and one of the older boys, that typically is all right. Just yep. normal kid stuff.
Right.
But when they get into that like roaming gang of boys.
Yes.
We're just thinking not such a good idea.
Because I agree.
The older ones go a lot farther than the little ones can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it eventually always turns into an older versus younger. Even though individually all nice kids, yep. It's just a gang mentality. It's 10 not unsupervised, but they're just kind of traveling from one
yep.
house to another.
Yep. So, unbeknownst to their other parents, perhaps.
Yeah, they just kind of, really, yeah. Yeah. So we're going to make an effort to keep the little ones together.
I agree. That's great.
Yeah. And kind of in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the older ones, I mean, clearly, if there's only one older one, I'm not going to send anyone away to go play on his own. But if there's like three older ones, they have to go play somewhere else. Do you yeah. know what I mean? Because all of a sudden you have like 8 kids in your yard.
Yep.
And it's usually okay for like 10 minutes. And then it becomes like you're really, when you have the little ones, you're really watching this whole situation because the older ones are like in my barn and they can reach higher. They're more adventurous. They're just, it's yes. just too much. And again, they're all really nice, good kids. It's just when there's 10 boys together, it's yeah. too much.
And I think there's an element of, I don't want to over encourage my kids to do the same thing on someone else's block and someone else's yard and someone else's house, because I'd rather go the route of, hey, you know, we're setting up a play date, or you know the kid is there, you're okay with it, and you are keeping an eye on them.
Yeah.
I think when these groups of kids, again, all great, nice kids, it's not them per se that's a problem.
Right.
It's just that I already have 2.
Yeah.
And then you add 4, and then you know, it just keeps going on. Like today, I had several kids at my house in the backyard, all playing nicely. My kids hadn't eaten lunch. Now, I'm not averse to feeding the neighborhood.
The droves of children.
Yeah, but I'm like, part of me feels like, this wasn't planned.
Right.
And, you know, like, Max is given. I don't care. Like, he's just, it's fine.
Well, because he just goes in your kitchen and eats.
Yeah, and we're fine with that. Like, it's no problem. He's like another child to me. So, like, my child, you know. And, you know, we've been doing this long enough. Like, it's okay. So, and usually you or Norman or Jack are here anyway. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not like, or we're there or whatever. But, you know, there's a couple extra kids that I don't really know. I don't know their parents. I don't even know if the parents know they're here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why am I feeding them? I don't really, I mean, again, I don't want to deny a child food. Maybe this is the only time you'll get some. I don't know. But, you know, so many things go through your head. And I'm like, I don't want to be in this position.
There was actually one little boy I once did feed the kids. I made everyone peanut butter sandwiches and the kid had a peanut allergy. And thankfully he told, you know, either he told me or something
he told
happened.
You after he was passed out.
Yeah. Like, something happened where he didn't, you know, he didn't eat it, thankfully. But I was like, ooh, but that mm-hmm. wouldn't happen if we all, you know, if it was a planned thing, the mom probably would have said to me.
Right.
So we're thinking,
I think it's great.
Yeah, to just try to keep that group smaller. And again, like big activity, fine. Everyone, a baseball game, of course, the whole neighborhood.
Here's what's going to become a problem.
Yeah.
I guarantee you when we open our pool.
Yeah.
Because we're the only one.
You're the only one around with the pool,
of all
really.
Those kids
yeah.
that has a pool.
Yeah.
And I can see it already.
Yeah.
Just one comes, then the other, then the other, then the other. And again, you know, not really a problem if it's planned, but that I'm going to be way more. Actually, you know what? That makes me think about it. I'm going to have to put a lock on the other fence.
Yeah.
Because that fence always opens its door anyway to the pool. Actually, both locks we have to fix. But yeah, I don't really want to be responsible. It's one thing for a kid to play in my yard. It's another to be playing in our pool.
Yeah.
I don't know what level of swimming capability they have.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to have to fix that.
Yeah, no, you'll definitely have to establish some rules around that one.
Not that like, they can't jump the fence, but yeah. And my kids are like, they think it's great to have kids over. And
oh, yeah. Max calls kids from the other, like the kids will be playing nice in the other street and Max will be like, come on. And I'm like,
yeah.
Not that I actually really like the kids around.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Max
again,
is talking to me.
It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah,
but
and I like the neighborhood. I like
yeah.
having
I
the kids
great.
Over. It's just that we have too many. It's like 10.
Yeah.
It's literally like 10. And the old, you know, since we have those two, there's really like five our kids' age and five of the older ones. I'm like, yeah. let's at least for the summer maybe try to split them up. Because it just gets, I mean, there's definitely been incidents that are just mm-hmm. kind of ugly.
Yeah.
And again, yeah. normal kid stuff, but just, you know.
Yeah. Well, and you know, what you just said is a great point too. And even with the pool example, like you don't want two parents, like we're going to have to, like we always watch our kids in the pool.
Yeah.
But usually it's if one of us can go out and do something, cook on the barbecue, whatever, you know, step away while the other adult is there and the kids are learning swimming and all that and how to hold their nose in water, all the crap, breath, whatever. But to be responsible for a whole bunch of other kids, again, whether in the pool or not, is a lot to ask of other parents when it's not planned.
Yeah.
And again, 10, 15 minutes out in the field playing as a group, doing something. But I think it's a valid point.
Yeah.
So, how do you teach your own kids some of that stuff without making it seem like you have something against the other kids? It's like, yeah.
Here's what I think we should do. I think all the moms should get together because now I know I've talked to you and one other mom who kind of all feel the same way of like it just with the amount of kids, it gets a little crazy. Mm-hmm. So I think we should have a mom code that we can always say, oh, your mom called. Like she needs you to check in with her. Like just as a nice way to get the kids home, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like just or something along those lines of like. Oh, you know what? Your mom's, you know, like you five boys, your mom's called and wants to see you at so-and-so's house or like yeah. some sort of code that the kids won't really question. Mm-hmm. And all us moms kind of know is the That's code is. For like yeah. all 10 boys are at my house. They're not playing nicely at the moment. I need to get rid of five of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or all of them or yeah. whatever. Yeah. Or my kid... Max was pushing kids into the tree over and over, and then I sent everyone home. I was like, mm-hmm. everyone home!
Mm-hmm.
But,
is that when he showed up in my yard?
No. Probably. Hungry.
No, they're so cute. They're so funny when they play together. And what they want to eat, you know, becomes like a, I want this! And then all they're like, yes! You know, like, okay, grilled cheese is still the favorite.
Ugh, grilled cheese is the, I go through a ton. I've started buying... cheese at Costco.
Yeah, I usually do too.
Because I just there's no other way.
That and bread, I never can get ahead. I'm always behind.
I know. I go to the Fryhoffer's outlet now.
Oh, I was looking at that. We get Fryhoppers, that place.
Yeah,
and Stroman's is the other one we like. It's good, right? The one by Toys R Us.
Yes, it's really good. They have the one I like. I like Health Nut. Bread. I don't know that it's necessarily healthy, but it's really yummy.
You feel like a health nut.
Yeah. Health nut. And oat bran. I like that one. But it's like a dollar a loaf.
Really?
It's so super cheap. It's really good. I get three loaves for $3.
That's really good.
I know. I go through like six a week.
Yeah, we go through a lot too. Probably not as many.
I know. It's crazy. And now you can tell that it's the end of the school year because I'm like... I'm done with the lunches. I make my kids lunch every day. And you could tell, like, the caliber of the lunch. So in the beginning of the year, it's like there's always a fruit and a snack and a this. And I cut the crusts off. And then, you know, I'm pretty good through the whole year. And it gets a little, few more leftovers, whatever. But whatever. By this, where we have, like, 5 weeks of school left, I'm like, butter on bread. That's your lunch. I'm not cutting off crusts.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever we got is what you're getting.
Right, you're lucky you get a snack. Yeah.
I need a break from this routine.
What's funny is two things have been happening because we're in the same boat. I'm done. Yeah. And I'm not home as much, but I don't even help Keith anymore. I used to like put aside things or give him some tips like, oh, put this, put a banana, put an apple slice.
Make sure there's a protein, put in a hard boiled egg. Yeah. Now I'm like, dry noodles, man.
So what's happening is one day, I think it was Ryan came home and he's like, Mom, we're not allowed to have two snacks that are like the same, like meaning cookies and brownies or like chips and pretzels. I don't know. Like it was just like they weren't allowed that. They needed a little bit more variety, meaning equal. Like clearly the code from the teacher was put something healthier in there, please. Because you're distracting all the other children who have healthy options.
Don't put sugar as a side to your carb.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like,
great figures. So I said to Keith, I'm like, we got to be a little bit more mindful what we put there, just at least until the next couple of weeks are over. So then we've resorted to letting the kids buy lunch pretty much 3 days a week.
My kids have bought lunch a little more often as well.
Yeah, I'm fed up.
I know. This happens to me every year, like from September to like
February.
yeah.
You're a little bit later.
Yeah, I'm on it. I'm making the lunches the night before. I'm good.
Yeah.
And then these last couple months of school, I'm just like, again with the lunch. Yeah.
Seriously? You haven't eaten enough this morning?
Yeah. It just the quality of the lunch gets worse and
totally.
Worse.
Totally.
And yeah.
Yeah, I struggle with that. Well, of course, too, don't you hate this? They'll come home and be like, Mom, I want to buy lunch. They think it's the coolest thing ever. And they're like, I used to buy the mini bagels. They used to love those, butter them, whatever I would put on them. No, those aren't acceptable anymore. I'm not allowed to buy them anymore because they're not like just bagels at school, which are bigger. And I'm like, well, when we go to the bagel shop, do you want me to get you a bagel? No. The ones from school. And don't try to buy them at home, Mom. That's what Ryan said to me one day. Don't try to buy them. I want them at school. I was like, and then Alex says to me, you know, Mom, they sell breakfast at school.
We don't want to eat here at all.
I was like, get out. Just get out. Get on the bus. I don't want to hear you talking about it. You could starve.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Max, too, loves the school lunch. Jack is over it. Jack is like,
give me good stuff.
Give me good stuff. But he can also get his own lunch. So I like make him his butter sandwich. And he's like, all right, I'm going to make some tuna.
Yeah, I'm good, Mom. But not. Yeah, that's not working for me. That's funny.
Exciting thing has happened. We've finally bridged the age gap and we can all play games together.
Ooh.
Well, so what are you into?
Monopoly. We are having
really
hardcore Monopoly tournaments. Aggressive, passionate games of Monopoly happening at my house.
That's cool. Even Max.
Yeah. We totally...
no handicap? Nothing going on with the...
No. We even let his older brother swindle him in trades. Yeah. I mean, he needs a little help with the money part. You know, we always say, like, you know, it's $26. That's a 20, a 5, and a 1.
That's cool.
But it's so nice to finally be able to, because up until now, board games, the only games we could really play were the Wii, which we got a really new good one, I'll tell you. But board games have sucked because Jack can play and Norman and I can play, but then Max wants to play. Right. And honestly, like, to play a board game with a 4-year-old is torture. Like, unless it's a 4-year-old board game that only I get sucked into playing over and over. Yeah. I've played more games of Trouble.
And Candyland.
Uh-huh. And Hi-Ho Cherry-O.
Yeah.
So we're really having some fun with the Monopoly.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's good times. Good times.
And I like whack-a-mole.
I like the real whack-a-mole, like at the carnival.
Yeah. Yeah, but the whack-a-mole with the kids is fun. That's cool. Well, you know what amazes me is that the board games, and I think this is a lesson for Keith and I, the board games we have right now, we have a mix, but we have obviously a lot, what you just mentioned, and we can play that with the kids. And we have a great time, whatever, it's fun. But the games on the iPhone, we have several for the kids, but they're all varying levels, nothing too crazy. Some of them are difficult and puzzle-like and whatever. Kids do amazing on those. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why I haven't put two and two together to say, okay, maybe we're ready for more an advanced game that they could figure out and sit down with us and they would get it. Because we don't do that enough. And we do enjoy it when we do it. Yeah. So that's great
to
hear.
It makes it so much better when it's games that you can enjoy. Because Candyland just...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's only so many times I can take out a hat of Operation... Love the game, and which I figured out we're not even playing right. We're just taking stuff out. I don't even take anything else out. And what's the other one that pops?
Oh, Trouble.
No, not Pop Trouble. The
Perfection.
Perfection.
I do like Perfection. Yeah,
I like being under the gun.
Yeah, it feeds totally into my, like, you know, all of my neuroses are totally fed in that game. That one I'll play.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like how I feel at work. So it's if I really want that feeling, I just play that game. I just replicate it.
Sad.
And we also, for the Wii, Norman picked up a game. It's called Just Dance.
Hmm.
It's awesome. It's a workout. Like, when we're done playing, we are all dripping with sweat. It's such a good thing, but it's so funny. It's like all pretty popular songs.
What do you do? Just dance?
You just hold, yeah, you just hold the Wiimote, and there's like an outline of a person on the screen dancing, and you mimic their moves. It is hysterical. Like, to see Norman do some of, like, the, like, girly cheerleader moves. That is great. So great.
You're going to have to put that on the website.
Yeah. Just dance. Get it. It's good.
That sounds cool. Yeah.
Yeah. We still haven't moved past Lego Star Wars.
Your kids are obsessed with Lego Star Wars.
Yeah, totally. And, I, you know, so we're now we're into making Lego Star Wars movies.
Is that part of the game? You can do that?
No.
No.
No. Meaning we go downstairs, the kids create a scene, Keith films them, they act it out, we watch it. It's the greatest thing ever. We have about 10 they've made. So Keith is now, I bless his heart, hopefully he can do this because they're expecting it. He's going to go back and edit it. So, like, you know, like those stop motion films, like if you watch like some of the Lego things that I talked about in one of the podcasts, you know, they like... shoot a scene, they stop, they take the head off of a Lego piece, and then yes. they shoot it again, and they yep. stop. So that's what he wants to create with them. Like, that's what they want to create. They think it's fascinating. So we're like, okay, we that takes a lot of work. So we're not quite there yet. There's a lot of hands involved. It's not quite something, yeah. you know, you can, you would want to watch.
have Keith teach Jack how to do it, because Jack loves that. And then Jack will do it for you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's become a new hobby of the three of them. It's really cute to watch. They get so excited. And Keith is actually, he's interested in learning. So he's trying to, you know, figure it all out. But yeah, soon coming to a YouTube video. would be Alex and Ryan's Lego world. Yeah, oh, but they funny. Are. Yeah, they're definitely very obsessed. So, well, thanks everyone. That was episode 10. Hopefully you enjoy. And check us out on iTunes. Leave us a review. Check us out on PFDA Podcast.
Send us an email. Reach out. Be our friend on Facebook.
Or Twitter.
We love feedback.
Yeah, lots of it. So, all right. See you next week.
Good night.